There you go.
The students used to tease me. They would say, Mr. Marinetti, do you have an iPad? My son.
My pad.
I don't need an iPad.
Welcome to the Combat Radio Network. This is Three Men and a Microphone, recorded inside the Iron Mike Studio, located in the Military Exchange on Route 332 in Canandaigua. Three Men and a Microphone is an opinion show based on the ins and outs, the news, politics, and scuttlebutt about town and the city of Canandaigua. Beautiful, historical Canandaigua, New York, where the hops grow higher, the grapes grow sweeter, and the sun always shines. In conjunction with 1310 AM, Canandaigua. Three men and a microphone, all the way from Rochester to Geneva, New York. I am your host, Corporal Tim Thornton, and this is Three Men and a Microphone. And we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR, and this is Civil War Radio. Can I tell you something? Got to tell you one thing. If you expect the freedom that you say is yours, prove to me that you deserve it. Help us to preserve it, or being free will just be words and nothing more. Clerico, can I get a drink? Sumatra, pull down the shades. Maduro, lock the door. We're gonna party. Can you hear me? How long I've been up? Welcome! Enlisted and officers, WMs and Devil Dogs, I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, your host for tonight. This is the DD214 and Laurel Cigar Lounge! Fresh from the Dominican Republic, Hickory Motto Cigars, here at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Smoking lamp is out. Good morning, and welcome to Civil War Radio, WOKR 1310. This is a derivative of Three Men and a Microphone, and I'm here today with Armin Marinetti, Mike Yarger, and your host, Corporal Tim Thornton. How are you today, gentlemen?
Good.
Good, thank you. Good to see you. So we're going to start with Civil War Radio this morning.
Civil War Radio, and you're going to give us a civics lesson.
Yep, I am. Last time we talked, the question was, are we decivilizing? So I'm going to try to connect that with today's civics lesson and how we can stop the slide into oblivion. But I did want to mention that when you start the show, there's a little bit of music that you play, and that's Kansas, and the name of that song is Can I Tell You? So listeners, if you get a chance, just look that up on YouTube, and it's a pretty good song.
It's a good song with good lyrics.
Yes.
That fit today.
Yes, and it's more of an album version, which plays quite some time, so we can't play the whole thing here, but
the album cover is interesting.
Yeah. Check Civil War Radio on Facebook, and you'll see a picture of the album cover, and that's John Brown, who led an attempt to revolt and steal some weapons from the armory in Harper's Ferry. The intent was to use those weapons for a uprising of slaves prior to the onset of the Civil War. So mini history lesson.
Yep. And people like that today. You don't have to get too far off track, but what's the most popular thing right now is like Brian Kilmeade's book on, was it General Grant?
And Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson.
Yep.
You know.
The Christmas Miracle, I think it is.
Yeah, and the other guy who does morning radio, Glenn Beck.
Yep.
He wrote a couple good history books. Everybody's into that, and I am too, because it's more descriptive and more personal about what really happened in our history.
Yeah, yeah. Even Bill O'Reilly's made a good living off of writing books that are based on historic events. And I used to tell my students that everybody complains about history. Why do we have to learn history? It's old people, things that happened a long time ago. And I said, well, just look at the word, his story. I said, all you students tell me stories every day. And this is what movies are made out of. You like these old movies like Gladiator and Glory, which was about the Civil War. I said, so that's, you know, we don't want to repeat the mistakes of the past. So that's why we learn history, so we can learn from the mistakes. So going back to civics and civilization, I brought a tool with me. This is called a textbook, remember?
And it's not in tablet form.
There's a lot of these in school rooms throughout our listening area. This particular book is put out by the Center for Civic Education. Many buildings that I've worked in have a stack of these books somewhere, usually in the closet, in a cardboard box, and they don't get used very often. Now, if your high school offers participation in government, or PIG, which the students like to call it, PIG, you might see some of these books that are actually been creased because they've been used. But this one I wanted to bring along because it's like the workbook that goes with the textbook, and it's a shorter version of what our students and us should know about civics. So as a reminder, civil, again, that means that we're going to be mature adults, polite, act well-behaved.
Good.
Okay, that's
good.
The civil part. And then the war for our segment is that, well, we can have a difference of opinion and we can battle it out with words. So that's why we're called Civil War Radio. All right, everybody's good with that?
We're good.
All right.
Yep.
So let's go on to what's the purpose of civics? Again, this particular book is titled Civics Education Project Citizen. Okay, and you can look it up online. They do have a website. It's civiced.org. And this particular course of study has been approved by the New York State Department of Education. Okay. So, the very beginning, page one, the purpose of civics. I'm going to read because that way I don't miss anything. So, the purpose of civics is to understand the American political system, how we can interact about policy in a peaceful manner, so we're not throwing mud at each other like we see often in the news and commentary.
Personal life.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, to begin, there's five major concepts that we have to talk about. And these words are going to be familiar to probably all of us. And they're misused often. But these concepts, I'm going to rattle them off, and then I'm going to go into a little bit of detail. There are liberalism, constitutionalism, democracy, republic, and federalism. And that last one gives us a lot of concern. So in this book, liberalism is what some people refer to as the classic definition of liberal, which means that it's derived from the term liberty. A liberal political system is one in which individual rights and freedoms are highly valued and protected. So where do these freedoms get mentioned in our history? Well, number one is the Declaration of Independence. And it states, I'm going to quote here, so please bear with me. Quote, All men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Unalienable means that we're born with them. They can't be taken from us. They're within our makeup. Okay? That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. These words focus on individual rights and freedoms. In other words, we create our government. We are our government. And there was a committee that included Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin that wrote the Declaration of Independence. And it was pretty much a separation agreement with England, the mother country of our original 13 colonies. And they were saying, we're not happy with this arrangement. We're leaving. This is a declaration of our independence. Okay. Now, so liberal, as we're going to use here, refers to liberty. And it shouldn't be confused with the term liberal when it's used to oppose conservative. That's not how we're using it. It's actually complementing conservative, because we want to save or conserve our liberty. Everybody's clear with that? So I'm not talking about like when somebody says liberal, meaning that I'm easygoing. You can do whatever you want. That's kind of our modern view of
interpretation of liberal.
Okay? The next word, constitutionalism, which talks about our constitutional government. We have a U.S. Constitution, which I'm going to explain as our rule book for our government to obey. So when you look at the Bill of Rights, it says Congress shall not. It doesn't say Tim shall not. Mike shall not. It says Congress. So the Constitution is set up so that we have a higher law to follow, the government follows, and it's also set up to limit government's rule over us, the governed. Okay? All right. So the major purpose of our government is set forth in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence and the preamble of the Constitution. So this is what the people who created our government believed. So I want to, again, take a minute to read this. So please just bear with me. I already read about these truths to be self-evident, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So I'm going to go over and talk about the preamble to the Constitution, which says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. That's the generations that follow us. And do ordain and establish the Constitution for the United States of America. So that's what constitutionalism is. Whenever you hear ism at the end of a word, ISM, that usually means belief of or belief in. So we believe that a constitutional government is the best way for people to consent to be governed or ruled. Okay? So we did away with the King of England. We don't have royalty in the United States, but we do have a government that we put together to watch over us and try to maintain peace amongst us, okay? All right, let's see. Where do we want to go from here? Let's go to the third word, democracy, which is often misused again. It comes from a Greek term, demo, which means people. Like demographics, which is like the study of people, where they live. And ocracy usually means rule of. So democracy means rule of or by the people. Another term that they use in hand-in-hand with democracy is popular sovereignty, which means popular. That means the majority of the people. Sovereignty means has their way. They make the rules. Okay? Earlier off air, we were talking about math, and you got to be a little bit careful here, and I'm not going to get into this too much. In another show, we'll talk about this. But a majority is usually 50% plus something. So if we're 10 people here, a majority, you can't split a person, so a majority would be 6 people out of 10. Now, when there's 100 people present, a majority is 50 plus 1, okay? So that's what we mean by democracy, a rule by majority. Could be dangerous. If you know of anything about ancient Greece, a lot of the people, those that wrote during that time period, Socrates, Aristotle, Plato, they warned about democracies because they believed if you get a majority of people that have a bad intent, they can cause a lot of harm, okay? Becomes a mob instead of a majority of people. From there, we have republic. And I'm not talking about democracy and republic in terms of our political parties. That's something different, and it's kind of been twisted to their those parties' liking. So this is the true sense of these words. So a republic is when you have representatives. You actually elect people to run and serve in government office and institutions. And here in our country, they're elected by a majority vote. That's where democracy comes in. Okay. A lot of people ask me, what type of government do we have then? Is it a democracy or a republic? And the real answer is kind of like what Thomas Jefferson used back when he was alive, is that we have a constitutionally governed democratic republic. That's the real type of government we have here. It's not a democracy. It's not a republic. But it's a constitutionally controlled democratic republic. And then the last word, which gives a lot of people trouble, is federalism. Federalism is a division and sharing of power between the states, now 50 of them, that created a national government. So some people confuse federalism with the national government reigns over the 50 states. That wasn't the original intent. Back when the Constitution was written, there were 13 states that created a federal government for some limited purposes, such as protecting our borders, such as making sure that trade and business across state lines was easy, convenient, and not too much of a hassle to stop business altogether, to make treaties with foreign countries. So, for example, without federalism, what if New York State decided that they wanted to have a treaty with Canada that would harm Vermont or New Hampshire? That would split up our union, our new nation. So federalism created a government to oversee that everybody on board stuck to the rules. Okay? And that's pretty much the lesson for today. What I'd like to do after I get comments from you guys is kind of bring it fast forward to something that's happening in the news this week that tests all five of those principles. Okay, so any thoughts, guys, that you want to – Mike, I saw you writing feverishly over there.
I'm one of these people who do much better when they write things down.
Me too.
It helps my memory. Now, you said federalism deals with borders, trade, treaties. Are there other things that they deal with?
Military.
Military.
Yeah, they have a defense.
Right.
So they defend our country. Oh, let's see. I mean, today it's really expanded, and there's a question we're going to talk about soon about some of the role of our federal government today unconstitutional. Have they gone beyond that rule book that we talked about earlier? So, okay. But those are the major ones.
Okay.
Anything, Tim? You thinking about anything?
I'm curious about how you're going to tie it into today's events.
Okay. If you've been paying attention to the news, there's an organization that was created by our federal government in 2010. It's called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Let me say it again. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. That's the CFPB. They have a website. If you want to check them out, go to consumerfinance.gov. That's their official website. And I took some of their information off the website to give you an idea of what they're supposed to do. And it sounds really good. Okay? I mean, it's a new government agency. It's only been around for 7 years or so. So their tagline when you go to About Us is that they're to empower, enforce, and educate. All right? Protections for us, consumers. We're consumers. We buy things. And sometimes we buy financial products, like a loan. That's a financial product. So this agency, I'm going to just hit the highlights that they put on their website. They're going to root out unfair, deceptive, and abusive acts or practices by writing rules, supervising companies, and enforcing the law with regards to financial products. Enforcing laws that outlaw discrimination in consumer finance. So they're going to make sure that if you go apply for a loan, that the lending company doesn't discriminate against you for, say, color of your skin, your ethnic background, so on. Okay, so that's one of their duties. They're going to take consumer complaints. That's another thing that they emphasize on their website. Enhance financial education. So they're going to help us learn more about the finance world and how it affects us. Research the consumer experience of using financial products. So what products are popular, like mortgage loans, maybe business loans, and help us understand them. And then the final bullet on their website is monitor financial markets for new risks to consumers. So what happened is that, if you guys can think back to 2008, our financial world had a huge hiccup where a lot of people lost money in the marketplace, the financial marketplace. Stock market dropped a considerable amount. Since then, it's recouped. So this agency is supposed to help prevent it from happening again. That's the idea, to protect us consumers of financial products. But they're controversial. And now I'm going to take some information right from a Washington Post article that was published back on Wednesday, which I think was the 29th. And you guys can check this out if you want online. But according to this article, that it's been controversial because it uses aggressive tactics to follow those bullet points that I mentioned earlier. They have an unusual organizational structure, which has created friction between the executive branch, which is now headed by President Trump, and the legislative branch, which is Congress, the people that make the laws. Also, there's a problem with some of the people involved, like the director. They have their own way of replacing the director, and that has tied the president's hands when it comes to picking a director of this federal agency. So, with that said, let me give you the two sides based on political party. Now we're going to talk Democrat and Republican with a capital D and a capital R. All right. Remember what we talked about earlier was the proper use of those words. Now we're going to talk about the party use of those words. So the two sides kind of line up like this. The Democrats believe that this agency is necessary. One of the examples that they give is that it fined Wells Fargo $100 million for opening up millions of fake accounts that consumers didn't want. So Wells Fargo, from what I understand, were very aggressive in trying to open up some type of loan account, and the people that appeared to be in favor of that account were not 100% sure that's what they were going to do. So the account got opened anyways, and it was to raise business. And it was found out, and it was squashed by this agency. So the Democrats say that we need this agency for that type of enforcement. Also, the agency, they say, is intentionally created independent of Congress and from political pressure from the White House on purpose. Now, think about that for a second. We are Congress, going back to us being the government. We vote those people to go to Washington and make laws that are supposed to help keep the peace and benefit us, not just tie our hands and make everything illegal. Okay, so the other side argues that's too much power for an agency to have. All agencies are under the executive branch of our government. They want the president, no matter who it is, to be able to unseat the director of the agency, to remove them if there's any type of friction or violation of the law. So the Republicans say that this agency has too much control. It's harder for consumers to get loans because of their regulatory procedures. They recently asked for laws that would allow this agency to sue banks, and the Republican-led Congress said no because it could lead to frivolous lawsuits. So here's my take on what's going on here. We got lawyer versus lawyer. Remember when we were kids and we used to read Mad Magazine? Right?
Yeah.
Right? Remember?
Spy versus spy.
Yeah. My favorite part.
Yeah.
Well, that's where we are right now. We have these two sides that have created a big rift over this agency. Now, where it came into the news is that the current director has a term limit. And according to the way the law was written, this director could appoint
his or her successor.
Forgetting about the president's power to appoint. And he did. He went ahead and he, let me see, I'm looking for, his name is Richard Cordray. He resigned and he appointed Leandra English, who was the deputy director, as the head director of this agency. Well, that didn't go over very well.
The executive branch.
Yeah, what's that, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Did not care for that at all. So they appointed an interim director as well. Mick Mulvaney is his name. And he showed up for work Monday along with this Miss English and basically said that I'm in charge.
Okay.
So now the courts, here's a third branch. We talked about the lawmakers, that's the legislative Congress. We talked about the executive branch. Now we've got the courts involved. That's the third branch of our government, the judiciary. So it's a real mess. So
the courts have to decide who's really in charge?
Yes. And I think it was on Monday or Tuesday, a federal judge said, no, the president has the power. And he cited a 1998 law. Let me get the name of it so we can stay factual here. The name of this law, they always abbreviate these things. Federal Vacancies Reform Act of 1998. That's what the president used to say, no, this is my job.
Right.
I'm doing this.
This is my responsibility.
Yes, and this federal judge agreed. So here we are, civil war at the highest level.
So this group, the what's the initials again for the
Consumer
group?
Financial Protection Bureau?
Yeah.
Is that the one we're talking about?
If you go back to Bernie Madoff and all the Ponzi schemes and, I don't know, Enron, doesn't it sort of sound like this group? What's the acronym for them?
It's CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
I wish it was like CHIPS or something easier.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they flim-flam towards whoever's in office. Because, boy, they went right after Wells Fargo. And I do business with Wells Fargo.
Okay.
And I noticed, and they sent letters saying, we're a kinder, gentler, we didn't mean to, you know, do these things. Apparently, there's a 10-day grace period on whenever you make your payment. And then all of a sudden, you know, and if they were like, well, hey, if you're almost late, you got to give us like $30 and we won't mark you late. Now, after that, they got in trouble, your example. Now there is no, the late fee is a very, very, it must be much later because I like to pay on the last day anyways. And there they are going, oh, no, I don't see it in your computer. You're not late. Oh, and I got letters saying, you know, we're kinder, gentler. We made a mistake. But where was this group when all that other stuff was going on?
It wasn't created yet.
This was created because of all that other stuff.
Wait a minute. When did this group start?
2010. Yeah, and Bernie Madoff, that was back in the 90s.
Late 90s, early 2000s.
What about Enron?
Same thing.
Yeah, and those were supposed to be regulated through the Securities and Exchange Commission, which dealt with that. And as far as this particular agency, I think they were created mostly because a lot of people can't understand those documents that we have to sign for borrowing money.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be very one-page-ish, very simple, but now you've seen them when you go to get
a mortgage
credit
signing or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
You've got 50 documents that you require your signature.
And you need an attorney
right.
to help you get through them.
Right.
So the idea was to protect us consumers from, again, another lawyer or legal, if you will, legal hurdle for us to get over where we might misunderstand what we're signing.
Yeah, right. That when they were doing that thing with the housing and they were inflating people's income so they could qualify, my guy was totally trying to do that. And I said, you're adding to what I really make. And he said, oh, don't worry, we got this. This is how you'll get a home loan. Well, I went out and got a better job to match what he was saying. And I never forgot that.
Yeah.
I saw what he tried to do.
Yeah.
You know, and sure, you want a house.
Yeah.
And hopefully you pay for it.
You got to be able to afford it. That's the key. And I think that's kind of the argument against the agency, too, is that sometimes one side says they're too regulatory, and other sides say, well, they're too lenient at some times, too, where they, instead of following financial guidelines, they might have gotten more into following the makeup of the people applying as far as where they live, who they are, their ethnic background. The things that are supposed to be taken out of the mix was brought back in. So who knows? I mean, this is the hard part. If there aren't any other questions, I was just going to break this down for me. I got to think in little blocks. So what's the good, the bad, and the ugly of what is happening here?
So far, I like them.
Okay.
Because if they're new and they weren't involved in the past, then my flim-flam argument is void. And if they're really protecting us, making these giants behave themselves, then I like that. But if it was already working, then why does our federal government or the executive branch want to jump in and regulate it from their end.
Well, the good part is what you said. I also think that the good part for us, I take a little contrarian point of view, is that if the executive and the legislative branches are duking it out, I'm not afraid of that. I'm hoping that we'll get a satisfactory solution from that battle. So sometimes battling could be good. Okay? So maybe we'll get something that everybody can live with.
Like a price war.
Yeah, price wars can be good. Yeah, you're right. Okay. All right. Good analogy. Yeah. What do you think, Mike?
Okay. So here's my thought. I'm not a big fan of federal government. Okay? Let's start with that. Now, this is a Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So the question is, are consumers being protected? All right? And you look at the news lately, how many of us have had our credit information stolen from one company after another after another? I mean, it's in the news almost on a daily basis. Where are these guys? How come they're not protecting us from this?
Good point.
You know, every branch of the military has a department that protects us on the internet, and the Air Force is like the biggest one, the most in charge. I don't know. Maybe they need to look at that and say, we need to involve the military in protecting us on the internet, because that's really what our military, a big portion of our military has gone that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mike's right. I mean, they're stealing our information left and right. You don't know whether you're going to wake up and find your money gone,
right,
or someone's running around on a boat with your name.
Yeah. Right.
You know.
Yeah. Equifax is the one that you're referring to recently, which
right,
over
100. Well, that's one, but I mean, look
million
at all the stores.
Yeah.
You know, that
yeah,
have
oh,
had
yeah,
their
half the yeah, place. Anybody you put your information in. Yeah, and who, you know what always kills me? They always want the last four of your Social Security number, and they go, well, just repeat your last four. Well, your last four is exactly you. The first two are like the state that you're living
right,
in.
Right.
And the middle two is when you're born, not exactly the year, but it gives you like the geographic.
Right.
So the last four is you. So why would I give you that? How about the first four or
right,
five? You know, that's the, if you really want to tag me, and I won't do it, they always go, oh, and they go, they check the notes, and it always says, oh, you refuse to give your Social Security number, but you'll give your tax ID number. You got it. And I've had them argue with me, well, we won't take your payment until you give me your Social Security number. I go, you're never going to get it. Turn the lights off. I don't care. But it's that bad. You
yeah,
can't, and you can't protect yourself.
Yeah. Right. And what's worse is our federal government is part of that problem, because if you look at your Medicaid card,
yeah,
right, most Medicaid cards have people's Social Security number on them.
Is there
now,
ID?
That's in the process of being changed, right? I think in 2018 is when it's supposed to – everybody's supposed to get new cards or whatever, but you know, you just lift somebody's card out of a wallet or something, you've got their Social Security number right there, and you can do all kinds of damage to that person.
So here's the ugly part. Here, in my view, and I'm going to ask you to get Clint Eastwood's music from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly to compliment this. Yeah, that's it. The ugly part is that we pick sides. We, the American people, end up picking sides. Which one's right, which one's wrong, which one's good, which one's bad. And the lawyers are laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. Right. The more stuff that goes controversial, the more money they make, the more money that gets spent that could have been spent on better things.
Yep. Yep. So that's what I got for Civil War Radio. On 1310 AM, WOKR.
Well, thank you for the education, Armand. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's nice to learn again.
Yeah.
You know, from stuff, and learn in a way that you can remember it and understand it. And, you know, I think it's good. It's good to get back to the basics, so that when these other people are throwing stuff out there, you can go, oh, wait a minute now. He's not right. He's misleading us. And I like knowledge. Knowledge is great.
Right. So, Professor, how did we do today?
I think we did well. It's there won't be a test. And if there is a test, I am a firm believer in open book tests, because memory isn't the key to learning.
That's a good thing for us at our age.
Yeah. So if you know where to find the answer, that's just as good as knowing the answer to me, right? Because then you can go look it up.
Right. Who doesn't look stuff up?
Yep. Right.
Yep.
I mean, show me a lawyer that doesn't have a library of law books, right?
That's right.
I don't know if you want to include this in this particular segment, but I decided to read the Bible cover to cover this year as a history book. So I went online and I found a schedule to read the Bible chronologically. Well, right now I'm in 1 Corinthians, and I think it's chapter 6. Yesterday morning opened up with sexual immorality. And I'm thinking, was Paul reading this morning's paper when he wrote this some couple thousand years ago? I mean, because right out of – and this is why history is important, because that is a history book. And what I've learned is that people, us, are doing the same bad things we did 2,000 years ago.
Right. Human nature doesn't change.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Just accountability and the willingness to take accountability for your actions. You know, and everybody's taking these shots at all these different people to time the radio show. You know, now it's Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
And
Garrison
Senator
Keeler,
Franken and
Charlie
Moore.
Rose, Al Franken. Take your pick.
Take your pick. What network do you watch? We got one NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN.
You know what goes through my mind? How are they any different? And I'm sure you'll have an answer, than the rock star or, you know, the band guy who's in a singing group that's, you know, backstage doing anything he wants. You know, it's just a matter of these people wouldn't even have these opportunities if they weren't little demigods. And so, you know, you don't hear Axl Rose or, I don't know, anybody. You know, you always heard about Elvis. You know, he had his pick of women every night. Nobody's calling up complaining, saying, you know, this
okay,
or
but
that.
There's a difference between consensual and non-consensual, right?
Well, but and is it, right? You know, there's drugs involved and all that stuff. I mean, I'm not saying that rock and roll is consensual. I don't buy that for a minute. You know, it's drugs, it's seduction, it's applying with alcohol or drugs, it's, oh, sure, there's groupies or whatever, but then again, even then, they're entranced. So these people that reach up to a level of stardom, you know, they're made out of flesh and blood, so they give in. And the people who are coming at them, you know, to what form of manipulation were they doing it to begin with before the guy gives in or the guy pressures? It's all a fiefdom. It's all about power. It's all about manipulation. But I don't see them as different than Hollywood, as different than music, as different than the common person who, you know, grows up in the neighborhood. I mean, it's sin is sin, and manipulation is just that. So
right.
I don't know. I mean, we draw all of our attention towards that, and then there's this guy that called up on one of the talk shows on 1310, and he was yelling at the host, Brian
Kilmeade.
He goes, "You're talking about this, but you're not talking about Uranium One." Mm-hmm. And it's so all these things are just a distraction to take us away from stuff like there's an Iranian flotilla headed for Mexico. I still have it all week long. Had time to look up Uranium One, Iranian flotilla, none of this stuff. And yet, it's happening right now this week. But we're worried about Matt Lauer.
So maybe it's by design to keep us looking at the shiny object. And I think it was President Bill Clinton that was once asked, you know, why did you do this when you were president, this terrible thing? That eventually led to his impeachment because he lied under oath. That's why he was impeached. And his simple response was, because I could.
Oh, because I could.
Yeah. That's what he said, because I could. And maybe it's the same with the celebrities. They get to a certain point in their life, in their mind, in their being, where they think they're above the rules and the moralities
yep.
that we should be living by. The civil stuff that we've been talking about, that doesn't apply to them. And I'm not sure how that happens. I pray I never get to that point. You know, because that could be a curse.
Right. Well, life will keep you humble, you know, and of course, getting in trouble or, you know, someone told me this week, they go, oh, you don't want to do that. You'll wind up on Canandaigua 2020. It was talk. So just to be clear, they were talking about me wanting to tow anybody who illegally parks in my parking lot.
Right.
And in my defense, taking away the spots from my old veterans who want to get into the store. But, you know, hey, if you're young and healthy and you can't park out back, whatever. But that's what the guy's threat was. And I go, you know, I agree with you. Yeah, I don't want to wind up, you know, in a bad way with social media dogging me or anything like that. Nobody does.
Yeah. So we kind of went full circle again, and this is probably the fourth Civil War segment that we've gotten back to the point that if we treat people the way we want to be treated, the old golden rule, life would be so much more peaceful. I mean, because that's what I hear as the big umbrella over our conversations.
Absolutely.
You know, we wouldn't need a consumer protection, financial protection bureau if people didn't try to cheat their customers.
Yeah, right.
So, anyways, nobody here cheats anybody at Iron Mike's
military exchange.
Why do you got to throw why do you got to throw me under the bus here?
No,
we're not throwing you under the bus.
We're
elevating you.
That's right.
10% for everybody. Everybody tomorrow gets 10% off.
Mention that you heard this on 13:10 a.m., 8 o'clock, Saturday morning.
It's
December
Saturday.
2nd. Yep.
I'll give you 10%
off. There you go. It's a... People right day.
Okay. The only problem is people are going to be so busy with all the events occurring on Saturday, December 2nd, they're not going to have an opportunity to come into Iron Mike's. And when we come back, we're going to go into some of those events.
All right. We come back with hour two, three men and a microphone. We're going to tell you about what's going on in the town and city of Canandaigua with Mike, Armand, and Tim.
Fasten your seatbelts. We have too much fun.
Christmas is the time of year when giving is its own reward, and the staff at Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua would like to thank you for your patronage and for supporting our military, Veterans Talk Show, and local charities. Have a hard-to-buy for person on your list? Iron Mike's Military Exchange offers gift certificates, the gift that never gets returned. Plus, any purchase over $100 will receive a free set of custom dog tags to honor that loved one in your family. Iron Mike's Military Exchange has expanded to 5,000 square feet and has plenty of great gift ideas. A wide selection of winter gear in wool and Gore-Tex, plus military collectibles for the veteran in your life. Merry Christmas from everyone at Iron Mike's Military Exchange, Route 332 in Canandaigua. And please remember, it's really all about the little baby born in a manger.
Tactical to practical. Cold weather clothing and gear at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Polypro cold weather mats, long underwear, gloves, boots, socks, caps, parkas, and field jackets on sale now.
Kim's Shaggy DeChic Pet Spa, a natural choice in pet grooming, located at 1010 South Clinton Avenue in Rochester. We are your premier full-service pet salon. Call to make an appointment, 585-355-4761.
Introducing now, in the corner of Case's Mini Storage Plaza, wearing camouflage boxers and smoking a cigar, hailing from Canandaigua, New York, Corporal Tim Thornton's, the all-new The Military Exchange. The Military Exchange is proud to present over 5,000 feet of pure 100% military. The Military Exchange is your source for all your military needs and proudly supports active reserve and former military, VFWs, legions, and leagues, Boy Scouts, Sea Cadets, Civil Air Patrol, and your family.
Presenting cigars fresh from our plantation of the Dominica, collectibles, t-shirts, hoodies, and ball caps, rank and insignia uniforms for parade, security, and law enforcement, camouflage clothing, outerwear, wool pants, parkas, and field jackets, camping backpacks, tents, and sleep systems, vintage clothing and gear, Class A's past and present, tactical and survival gear, antiques and airsoft, brand new and pre-enjoyed military camouflage and boots. Check out our military talk show at IronMikesMX.com. 5,000 feet to pure 100% military in Canandaigua, New York.
Another tactical and a practical moment has been brought to you by Iron Mike's Military Exchange. Camouflage netting was designed to cover up military buildings, tents, tanks, and artillery. Ah, but back stateside, at home, in your backyard, it's the perfect shade for the family patio or deck, or a dog kennel. It's a great blind for hunting duck and deer and to cover up that boat or tree stand. Perfect for a backstage drop for your next theatrical performance or airsoft and paintball scenario games. Iron Mike's camouflage netting comes with or without reinforced net backing. 100% waterproof, rot and mold resistant. Quiet and rustle free, textured for a more natural look. UV and non-toxic treated to prevent glare and shine. Reversible for different color options to best fit the environment. Pliable even in extreme temperatures. Comes in several sizes. 10x10, 10x20, 8x10, 8x20, and 4x10. And camouflage netting comes in many colors. Woodland, desert, dead duck, snow, and many more. This tactical to practical moment was brought to you by Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua.
Check them out online at ironmikes.co.
Welcome back to Canandaigua 1310, Three Men and a Microphone, and this is Mike Arger from Facebook 2020 with our local history.
And so one of the quality stories that came out this week was a little local history. It's about the Erie Canal jailhouse roots. Okay, there was a fella from this area. He was actually a Geneva flower merchant who spent time in Canandaigua 2 years in debtor's prison here. Okay, now at the time, the debtor's prison is where our Commons Park is currently located. Okay, now that's an important note, so remember that. But he's sitting there in debtor's prison, and he starts to write a series of letters laying out very detailed plans for the establishment of what became the Erie Canal. Now, it was typical in their day to sign these letters with fake names. So he chose the pen name Hercules because this was a Herculean task to build this long canal that would connect Lake Erie into the Hudson River and then down to New York City. And he published this series in what was then the Genesee Messenger, which was a precursor to the Messenger Post newspaper that we have today. And these were published back in 1807 and 1808. Uh-huh. Okay? Now, just so happened that there was a mayor in New York City by the name of DeWitt Clinton who read these things, and he thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. Well, DeWitt Clinton went on to become Governor Clinton, governor of the state of New York. And in 1817, he got a appropriated $7 million, a huge amount of money, for construction of the canal, which became at that time known as Clinton's Big Ditch. And he took a lot of criticism for that. Well, within 2 years of it opening, that canal was a huge success. Okay, it opened in 1825. That's when the construction was completed. In 2 years, that $7 million had been paid off. Okay, and they went on 10 years later to expand it, and it became the Barge Canal. So just this Jesse Hawley actually was invited to ride with Governor DeWitt Clinton on a packet boat named the Seneca Chief from Buffalo to New York City. And what they did was they took a barrel of water out of Lake Erie and carried it on this packet boat down to New York Harbor. And when they arrived in New York Harbor, they poured this water into the water of the harbor, and they called it the Wedding of the Waters. And it was the first time that they were able to marry those two waters. Now, last year, the city put this big mural up on the side of the Crown Jewelers. Hello. And on that mural is an image of Jesse Hawley.
So now he overlooks the very Commons Park that was the site of his prison where he spent 2 years. And a couple of related stories. One is that we are famous in our area for having a lot of cobblestone houses. And what a lot of people don't know is that those cobblestone houses exist because a lot of the masons who worked building the Erie Canal, when it was completed, had to find other jobs. And one of the jobs they got was to continue with their trades, building houses out of these stones. And so that's how we end up with so many cobblestone houses in our area.
Wow.
I've also often wondered, how come Canandaigua Lake was never connected to the Erie Canal? Seneca Lake was, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And actually, there was a committee in Canandaigua put together to work on whether Canandaigua Lake should be connected to that or not. And among the members of that was Henry Gibson. And it was decided that it would not be worth the money to make that connection between Canandaigua Lake and the Erie Canal. And instead of doing that, they built a road from Canandaigua up to the Erie Canal. And where that meets, it's called Port Gibson. So if you know that little community, Port Gibson, that was named after Henry Gibson. And that's where Ontario County actually has a little sliver that connects it to the Erie Canal. And it's where Route 21 runs into there. And that is actually Ontario County, and that's there because of Henry Gibson. And that was how the canal goods got off the canal, were brought into Canandaigua by horse and buggy then, or brought from Canandaigua up to the canal to be shipped down to New York City. So that was our connection to the canal.
Gentlemen, I am proud to present Marine Private First Class Gomer Pond.
Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m., for three men and a microphone and a lady. Hear all about local news, politics, fishing report, and sports, as well as all the talk about town and the scuttlebutt in the city. To keep up on the show, stay connected and visit us on Facebook at Canandaigua 1310, Three Men and a Microphone, presented each week, Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m., and Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m., sponsored by the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. And to catch up on past episodes, go to IronMikesMX.com or WOKR 1310.